This is KNKX. In Washington State, where you die determines a lot. The system used to investigate sudden or unusual deaths is a patchwork, and with it comes a long list of challenges that vary from county to county. KNKX's Kari Ploeg has been digging into those challenges in a three-part series. In part two, we take a closer look at a few of the state's 33 coroner counties to see up close what elected coroners in Western Washington are facing. We begin in Mount Vernon.
My tour with Skagit County Coroner Haley Thompson starts on a loading dock in a hospital parking lot. First stop, a vent, pointing directly at an elevated entrance to a group of offices.
So it's this pipe that's, what, 20 feet up, would you say? Yeah? And so it's just blowing all kinds of smells into offices?
Yeah, and who knows if it's, you know, like contaminants or things like that.
Those smells and possible contaminants are coming from a makeshift morgue inside Skagit Valley Hospital, a space converted from a closet. But the unfortunate positioning of the ventilation is just the beginning.
When it's warm outside, it's 5 degrees warmer in the area that we work in. When it's cold outside, it's 5 or more degrees cooler. When it's really hot, we have to wear our protective equipment. So that's gowns, masks, gloves, everything. And, you know, we're all sweaty and it's just very difficult. And then when it's really cold, your hands freeze. We've had doctors that have come close to cutting themselves because they can't feel their hands and they're trying to work in there. We have this curtain. It's kind of like a shower curtain that's used to close off the area, and it really doesn't help with any airborne pathogens or anything like that. People can still be exposed if they're not wearing any of those appropriate protective equipment. This is our autopsy table. In my mind, it looks like something that came out of the 1950s. We have a garbage disposal, and majority of the time it does not work, so things get backed up.
So what do the pathologists who work in here say about this space?
They're like, you have to be kidding me. You need a better space. This is it.
And this setup is more ideal than what you had before.
Yeah.
And is this setup, would you say, more ideal than most coroner counties?
So we're probably one of the few that actually has a set-aside facility that we can use. But again, there's a lot of flaws with it.
Thompson is a proactive coroner. She has a lot of experience as a trained death investigator with a background in forensic anthropology. It's why she's advocating to move this space to her main office 10 minutes down the road. She understands the better the morgue, the better she can do the job Skagit County voters elected her to do. She recently got a grant for $250,000, the first step toward bringing all her operations under one roof. In the meantime, though, Thompson is stuck with the substandard facility she pays the hospital $12,000 a year to use. Autopsies that should take about an hour end up taking at least twice as long in this space. But most of Washington's coroners don't even have what Thompson has. If they're lucky, they can drive to the nearest medical examiner's office, which offers a full staff and all the necessary equipment. Only 6 counties in the state have one. Spokane County is the only one in eastern Washington. If that's not an option, all those coroners have is the local funeral home.
When you don't have a place of your own and their funding isn't available for it, you can't even, you know, have your own staff to make removals, the funeral homes are the most sensible and likely choice.
That's Roger Smith, a funeral home director at Coleman Mortuary in Grays Harbor County. Coleman and 2 other facilities rotate on a monthly basis to work with the coroner. They offer space for storing bodies and performing autopsies. Between the 3 funeral homes, there's usually enough space.
And then sometimes we'll call these folks, generally after, as we say, after 5 o'clock and on a weekend, and they'll say, we're full.
That's Bob Cagle, the Grays Harbor County coroner. He's the one who makes his way down the list when a funeral home is full. Cagle recognizes the monthly rotation is far from perfect, but he hasn't been able to find a dedicated space like the one in Skagit County. And building one isn't cheap.
We're talking millions of dollars to build something from scratch. Grays Harbor is far from a wealthy jurisdiction.
Cagle says it would only be feasible to build a facility if it was bundled with another county project or in partnership with neighboring counties. With the economic fallout from the pandemic, a proposal like that is even further out of reach. So for now, Cagle and coroners like him will keep sending their bodies to funeral homes, even though they admit it's not ideal.
Those definitely can be improved. Those spaces were designed for embalming bodies, not doing autopsies.
But where the autopsies are happening is only part of the problem. Because coroners like Bob Cagle are elected officials without medical training, they have to rely on a handful of people who do have the training. Traveling pathologists who spend a lot of time in their cars driving across Washington State. When I visited Cagle in his office at Grays Harbor Community Hospital, he had finally scheduled an autopsy for a death that happened 8 days earlier. The reason for the delay? The doctor he normally hires was on the road, a lot.
We were speaking, he says, hey, I just traded in my car. He says, it had 300,000 miles on it.
The person Cagle was talking to was Dr. Sigmund Menschel. He's among the handful of traveling doctors who have crisscrossed the state, sharing autopsy work in coroner counties. That means driving hours from where they live, hauling their own equipment in pickup trucks to facilities that are too small and lack sufficient lighting or storage. These doctors serve a population of 2.5 million people, and in the past year, more than half of them have retired, including Dr. Menschel. Before he did, state records show Menschel was the second most active traveling pathologist between the summers of 2017 and 2019. He performed more than 250 autopsies in 11 counties. The work took him from Grays Harbor County near the coast to Ferry County in northeast Washington, all the way down to the Tri-Cities and Walla Walla. It's not unusual for a coroner to call their preferred pathologists and find out they're on the opposite side of the state. Wakayakum County has it a little easier. The preferred doctor there does most of his work in southwest Washington. But before the coroner can even call the doctor for an autopsy, there's an added challenge, simply getting to the death scene.
If I'm in the middle of a jury trial, then it has to be somebody else, or that scene with that dead body on it has to be held until I get there.
Dan Bigelow wears a lot of hats. He's the prosecutor in Wakayakum County. When he's not trying cases, he's on call as a volunteer EMT. And, like 15 other prosecutors across the state, he's also the county's coroner. Sometimes Bigelow will be called to a death scene in the middle of the night, hours before he's due for an early morning court appearance. Despite the odd hours, Bigelow likes the job. But he says only about half of his colleagues feel the same.
In other counties with higher populations, they have an awful lot greater workload than I do, and that means a lot more sleepless nights.
In some coroner counties, deputy prosecutors help lighten the workload, doubling as deputy coroners. But many of them don't have time to get proper training. And in some counties, like Bigelow's, deputies are turned off by the work.
They'd be happy to do the same job at the same money if they didn't have to go out in the middle of the night and look at dead bodies. It's not only a recruitment difficulty, it's a retention difficulty, and that's been causing a lot of problems statewide.
And then there's the potential conflict of interest. If Bigelow prosecutes a case that requires testimony from the local coroner, he can't put himself on the stand for questioning. That could pose a problem in a lot of cases, such as police using deadly force. In a case like that, the person ruling on the cause of death would be the same person arguing whether the death was justified.
In the medical legal community, it has always been established as a third independent investigative body.
That's Tim Davidson, the coroner in Cowlitz County, who also serves as president of the Washington Association for Coroners and Medical Examiners. The group is considering eliminating coroner duties for prosecutors like Bigelow. But that process could take years because of election term limits. Eventually, Bigelow expects the issue to be resolved by the state Supreme Court.
And when it does, then what WACME is thinking of doing may end up being forced on us before we're ready.
Davidson, WACME's president, acknowledges the dual system isn't suitable for many reasons, beyond the potential conflict of interest. The job is already difficult enough for traditional coroners. Sometimes it can take weeks just to notify next of kin. Add to the equation a John or Jane Doe and a prosecutor coroner who has to be in court 8 hours a day, and Davidson says the job can feel nearly impossible.
this job's a 24/7 office, just like fire department, just like the hospital, just like law enforcement.
And sometimes the extra workload can take elected prosecutors by surprise. Here's Dan Bigelow.
I'm going to tell you about one prosecuting attorney, but I'm not going to tell you the name of that prosecuting attorney, who called me up immediately after the election and said, I just found out I'm coroner. How do I get out of this? Had no idea.
So even prosecutor coroners like Bigelow, who enjoy the job, admit the system is flawed. But he says the state hasn't been able to come up with anything better since its founding, more than a century ago.
What I would like to see replace me is somebody better than me who lives where I do.
It's unclear when and how that will happen. It's among the many issues leaders in the industry are lobbying state lawmakers to address. They also want improved training and certification for all coroner offices. But for some residents in Washington's coroner counties, any improvements coming out of Olympia are already too late.
I have multiple different causes of death, and none of them make sense.
In the final part of our series, we'll meet a woman who is still grappling with her mother's death 8 years later, and the stack of death certificates that left her with more questions than answers. Kari Ploeg, KNKX News.
That story is the second in a three-part series examining the system of death investigation in Washington State. We'll bring you the final story next week. You can read more about parts one and two on our website, knkx.org.